You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Local hour was too long because there's so much to talk about. We did not even talk about. Yeah, Don Mattingly out as manager of the Marlins. I don't know. Okay,
very good.
Donnie Baseball.
Look, what the cat dragged in.
Yes, Chris Whittingham has arrived. Hello. Will talk butt punt in a second, but just want to get to, because you are a public Tua hater. You have not been afraid to rage against Tua non. You have come in here today. I don't know why you would subject yourself to this. You were off today, but you have come in and you're now around. The Tua is a winner. He's a grinder. He's 3-0. RG3 says the Dolphins are the best team in football.
Whittingham was right about Mario Cristobal, though.
RG3.
This is his off the outfit, by the way.
Yes, not casual. RG3 says the Dolphins are the best team in football.
Yeah.
It's nice to be the subject of hyperbolic sports takes.
You're not part of this. Missed the deadline last week. You're not part of this. I hate to break it to you. We gave you a deadline, and you are not part of this.
Yep.
You cannot root for the Dolphins. I'm sorry, you can't.
You didn't afford me the chance to be two in or two out.
That is true.
Yes, you did.
You didn't ask him, Billy. You never followed up.
We followed up the next day, and you still refused to answer the question.
No, you didn't. Actually, there was a deadline for everybody, and you didn't give anybody any deadlines.
Well, whoever didn't say they were two in is two out. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you.
I'm two on the fence. Is that okay?
No, you had to say it before the Buffalo game.
Yep.
And you didn't.
Who's two in? You and Stugatz are the only two
in? And Greg Cody.
I'm two in.
Yeah.
Mike Fuentes is two in. Chris Cody's two in. Greg Cody's two in. Stugatz is two in.
Everyone else is two out.
You're two out for sure.
I'm true Binsky.
You're paddleboarding because you don't want to watch your team in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, they played on Thursday. Yeah, no.
Well, how about the Bears?
My bad.
The Bears won the Lovey Smith Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little sad for Lovey, though.
Yeah,
Justin Lovey. Fields also.
I keep wanting to accuse Jessica of not wanting to watch Trubisky.
Justin Fields.
Whittingham, what are your thoughts on all things Tua related before you get out of here? Because people view you as one of the nation's preeminent Tua haters.
I kind of loved that yesterday almost sort of had nothing to do with Tua.
Oh,
because
what do you mean?
What do you mean? What it had, like? If you look at that game is not really through the prism of Tua. It's through the prism of the 90 plays that Buffalo ran, the incredible defense that they played at times. As Billy, I think Billy spoke to it incredibly well, which was that they were great on defense despite the fact they gave up 100 first downs because they would just reduce Josh Allen to dinking and dunking.
Bend don't break.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Classic Tua denier move, by the way. Yep. This game had nothing to do with Tua, but had they lost, everything would have had to do with Tua on that.
No, I don't want to.
Tua denier.
See, you're going to make me do the thing where I say that Josh Allen was strip sacked and they scored seven yards later on a running play. So realistically, Tua engineered 14 points of offense. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. He walked off with a concussion at halftime, was absolutely, was incredibly brave to come out in the second half. Yeah. Brave and stupid, but also brave. but either way, the game wasn't really about Tua. It was about, holy shit, the Miami Dolphins, which I think is something that we haven't really talked enough about because the whole team is through Tua's prism. The Miami Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills, who by every rating system across analytics, across sports, were the number one team by far in the NFL through 2 weeks. The Dolphins beat them. They made them sort of look completely broken by the end of the game. That and, you know, the impossibly hot sun. But also, like, the Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins are good. And you can kind of stop focusing on the quarterback for a little bit because this team is good. This team is fun. And that's all I ever really want on a week-to-week basis. Yeah. So I didn't really have too much to say on Tua.
You're out.
Okay.
Tell us about the Canes next.
I don't want his Canes thoughts.
Oh, I do.
You do
he
want
was
his...
at the game, yes. One of the six fans okay. that made it.
I was there, yeah.
I texted Whittingham saying, oh, I hope they lose. That would be perfect for the show. He said, I went to school here. I'm kind of hoping they win, but I'm right on Cristobal. You were proud of yourself.
I mean, I kind of felt like I was vindicated after like 11 game minutes because the offense that we saw, like two passes, two picks, and the entire first half was anemic. It changed when they changed quarterback. I'm really surprised at what's happened to Tyler Van Dyke. And I think a lot of it has to do with, if you go back, if you look at his numbers on last season, he was actually fairly inaccurate at short and intermediate levels, but completely crushed it with deep passing. And they don't do that anymore. And so you've kind of reduced him to a very inaccurate quarterback in short and intermediate passes, and you don't ever play to his strengths. Now, that could be the conservatism of the offense, that can be the fact that they don't have good wide receivers, but they have reduced Tyler Van Dyke to a husk of a quarterback.
And it's why you were out on Cristobal, because it's conservative, tough him out. Mike now is lurking back in the room because he wants to spit UM propaganda, but I want the audience to realize how funny the competing rooting interests are around here. It's not just Billy and Tony in the back row fighting on behalf of the FIU Panthers and Golden Pause Roaring.
Up. They lost by 8 touchdowns to Western
it's not
Kentucky.
About that. It's so not about that. Yeah. It's not about that.
It's a culture thing. It's
exactly.
a culture thing. He doesn't
want
shit. He doesn't
give a damn. New head coach, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I actually flipped on the FIU radio broadcast leaving the Hurricanes game just to see if maybe I can feel myself feel better. And it's like, FIU fans, it'll be better days for us soon.
Yeah,
it's a great call.
Mike Ryan was heavy on Western Kentucky first half and second
the
half, and to drub FIU. But so you've got Mike with the unreasonable, just minister of information talk around UM, but the NFL, his fandom is just generally of the sport. And here you've got Whittingham. Clearly, his rooting interest in sports now is just, where can I be right?
It's not true.
I've been saying that.
Guys,
I've been saying it.
I love the Miami Dolphins.
No, you don't. You're not allowed to.
They're like the first I remember being 7 years old walking into Hard Rock Stadium for the first Dolphins playoff game.
Please.
Coincidentally,
Joe Robbie.
The last Dolphins playoff game that I went to.
Right.
It was a playoff game?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the Lamar Smith game?
Oh,
or was
it? No, it was the week after. The week after they won the Lamar Smith game, I think they got hammered by Baltimore.
Yeah,
they did.
Lost. Wait a minute. They lost. You went to a losing playoff game, and it was the last Dolphin memory they gave you of any postseason anything.
Right. That's the last postseason game that I went to. I was 7. And so they are my first love in sports. I love the Miami Dolphins. No. I wish I would have went to that game yesterday. It's so cool to see them win and create an atmosphere and have genuine home field advantage. So if I'm wrong about Tua, I will be glad. And there were whiffs of it, like him being like college Tua again. Some of the throws that he was making into the secondary I thought were really impressive. I was super bummed when he got hurt before halftime because I wanted to see him and Josh Allen go toe-to-toe in that second half, and we didn't really get to see it between a combination of Buffalo staying on the field the entire time and Tua not really being the same after that hit.
Do you guys realize how good a defense has to be to just withstand everything Buffalo was doing when they have they prefer to beat you 60 or 70 yards at a time, but they could do it 14 and 15 yards at a time. Third and long does not matter against them. I saw the stat yesterday. It's the first time they've been in third and 10 all season.
What?
LG is in the
How
first.
About
it was
defense,
like it was like
man.
The third quarter. It was the third quarter
of the third game.
It's crazy.
So like 10 quarters into the season, they hadn't had third and 10 or longer.
There was lots of firsts yesterday. It was the first time they punted in the first half in the game yesterday. It was the first time they trailed in a game yesterday. There
first
was
time they lost.
First time. Oh, yeah.
But you guys came away wild. I came away wildly impressed still with Buffalo that they're still
enough with you.
Okay. I mean, but I'm like I don't want to play against them. I do not want to with this team ever because they'll throw it out to a running back and he'll get 17 yards and I gotta worry about Josh Allen's gonna run 19 yards on 3rd and 11, but they're never in 3rd and 11.
It was Singletary is incredibly frustrating to root against because they weren't very good running the ball, but there is always the dump off to him on 3rd and 7. It's like, of course he's gonna break two tackles and get into the secondary and get a first down. You're right. I was stunned that Josh Allen threw the ball at the receiver's feet on 4th down. I thought, even though Josh Allen had a drive, I think it was that second to last drive, where he should have thrown 3 interceptions on the one drive. Yeah. I was still afraid
old Josh
at the end
Allen.
Of
it. It was old tired. Man, fatigue makes cowards of us all. he can't be just a mythological.
I think Gilliam's over there. Let's throw it.
He can't be a mythological centaur all the time. He's 50, throws in, he digs on his knees. He's like, oh, this. I'm throwing 30 yards.
Diggs was broken. Like, watching him cramp up on the sideline and try and run out. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I think the Bills were down to their 7th string offensive lineman. A tight end must have been playing right guard for them at some point. Every single one of their linemen was running off the field with heat exhaustion.
Let me get back to a couple of things, Stugatz, that happened on the broadcasts last night, or actually Thursday night, because Jessica's now had to correct me like 3 times. I keep making the Steelers game a Sunday game when they played on Thursday.
Prime time, Dano.
Yep.
Al Michaels likes to make sly gambling references. That score matters to some of you, as there are 400,000 DraftKings ads all around him. Like the old school broadcaster still sending a whispered shout out to the gamblers when it's all...
Whispered?
It's the only ones who are watching at the end of that game.
Did you see the end of the Chargers-Chiefs game? Al Michaels had Chargers 4.5.
No,
he
doubt.
Literally said,
yes.
Yeah!
But he could do that now.
The boys
he
in the
said,
desert.
Yeah! He covered with a back door on that TD to Palmer after Herbert just opted out of running for a first down earlier.
Is it not funny to hear the old broadcasters sort of pretend around it? Because he did at the end. That score matters to some of you out there. Like a whispered wink.
He's so good at it,
everybody's in the 7 devices. Yeah,
that's
him,
so
like in-game wagering. It's not. I understand he's good at it, but everyone watching is gambling now.
It's why I think Sugatz and I will still opt for the bookie.
Yes.
Even when it becomes legal in the state of Florida, because I like the whispered elements of it. I like seizing on the code, even though Al Michaels is beyond code at this point.
I'd rather Al not cheer. I mean, it was better when he wasn't cheering. Yeah. You had to guess who he had. I mean, it was done in the shadows.
I romanticize being able to pick up on.
Bro, Musburger was the best at
it,
right?
Yeah,
it's clearly had money on the games. Was he the
kinda
most
like Fight Club, you know? You just lock eyes, you know. And then you just move on.
Right.
Now everyone's got their screen caps of their parlays. It's just, it's not for me. But I need to meet somebody behind a Walgreens.
Thank you. I get my money in a baggie. I mean, I really do. No. Brown paper bag.
Salute to DraftKings. Salute to them. I don't live in a DraftKings state, and they do make it easy. But for now, I'm going to live it up here. Going to the back alley. Wow. Handing somebody a wad of cash. No one does that anymore. We all use Cash App and just put it under chandeliers.
I think Al Michaels and Musburger are not paying their bookies by Zelle. I believe they're meeting with them somewhere. And Al Michaels was yelling yes because old school cash style. It surprised nobody when Musburger went to live in Vegas late in his life because we all heard it during the broadcast. You're gambling on all of these games, Brent. We can see you. And you're wearing out the Greek. You're wearing him out for information on the side.
They hired 87,000 new IRS agents just to look through our Cash App histories.
Let me go a step back to something else that happened on the broadcast last night in that terrible 11-10 awfulness that was a game I've got to watch because I've got Niners bucket of death. And I'm like, just watching, bleep me. I'm watching and I'm
what
like,
a bad
I
game,
don't want to care about this. But during the game.
Who is Johnny the Bone and why are you paying him $4,000 to consult you?
During that
J-Bone.
That game, Stugatz. very quickly. Orlovsky was released. Dan Orlovsky, I love him as a character on television because he was clearly a nerd in the room of those cool guys, but he is relentlessly himself, and he knows that he knows football and is much better at football than most of the people who are critiquing it or watching it, but he stepped out of the end zone one time, and it's what people associate with him caring deeply about being good at that sport, which must have been hard, and now being good at broadcasting. Orlovsky, what do you know? You ran out of the end zone, because all of us would. And me with urine and shit on my legs, if you said somebody was chasing me and I've got to remember, hey, I've got to stay in bounds. No, I'm going to run out of the back of this, afraid because it sounds like it's snorting, it's violent, and I might look like Tua yesterday if somebody plants my face mask in the ground.
You have Orlovsky becoming an on-air NFL personality to prove that he knows football more than the guy that you saw run out the back of the end zone. Like, yeah. Instead of just retiring from football with his career earnings, which are somewhere in the $3 million range, yeah, according to Sportrack, whatever it's called, you have him
becoming... That's one Chase Daniel handoff, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right.
You have him becoming a studio analyst, color commentary guy.
I have him choosing a life in football, the one that he could get after, because he cares about it, loves it, and is unrelentingly himself, and also is probably haunted by, you're the clown who ran out of the end zone when things got hard because that team was the 0-16. You're also the representation for the 0-16 Lions.
Well, he's also off the hook.
Because last night during the game, and a lot of people noticed this, as soon as Jimmy Garoppolo stepped out of the back of the end zone, before even mentioning Garoppolo's name, Tirico got there with Orlovsky, did that once. Got there so fast.
Was waiting for that moment forever.
It was right. Tirico had it right there, and Orlovsky was like freed by it. He's like, no, give me freedom. Please don't put me there that quickly. But what an anchor for Orlovsky to carry around as a guy who made it to the top of professional football, and we make fun of him because he wasn't good enough.
Well, he made it to the Lions, so right. Let's take it easy a little bit.
The bottom of professional football.
Do you think he's watched every possession inside their own five, hoping for one day?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's the same way I imagine Jose Canseco watches flies to right field.
Waiting for a ball to bounce off someone's head.
Come on.
Anybody. Just someone else do it, please.
It's bound to.
It's one of those things, though, I feel like, Orlovsky, like, you think you want it out of your life, but you might miss it once it's gone. I don't know. I mean, that's his signature play, you know?
So this wasn't even the first time an NFL quarterback has run out of the back of the end zone since Orlovsky did it, but it was during primetime, and the last quarterback who did it played for the Browns. So we kind of just were like, that doesn't really free you from the curse. Someone like Jimmy G has to do it in primetime while America's watching to free the spiritual Dan Orlovsky curse from whatever inanimate object it's trapped inside of.
You know what I like so much about this one is that it's a time capsule. The way that Orlovsky was in like the Metrodome, and you're like, oh, they used to play on like turf and this big balloon. When we look back on the Garoppolo one, it'll say end racism in the end zone. And 10 years from now, we'll be like, huh, that didn't work.
I don't think Orlovsky's free from that, right? Like, now he becomes that meme where anytime anybody runs out of the back of the end zone, right, it's him.
His was more egregious because he kept running even though he was out of bounds. Yeah. Like, let's not make any mistakes.
There was a guy in an out route.
He had more room, too.
It was a quick out.
It wasn't just...
The protection was holding.
Look, Orlovsky's demanding to be freed, even though if we're being honest, Dan, yours was much, much worse. Like, we didn't think Garoppolo was incompetent.
Garoppolo ended up saving points by taking that safety because he threw a pick six.
Does Orlovsky...
It was the more efficient play.
Good game
manager. Play, yes.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Does Orlovsky get to be freed from this just because he's clamoring for it?
Because Dan, we're watching it here. He ran 17 yards.
Straight. No, Orlovsky was out of bounds. I'm telling you, it's how I would have done it if you planted me on a field right now with no training. I would have just simply scampered to my right and run into the band. It's amazing, and it's far, far worse than what happened to Garoppolo. So perhaps he doesn't get to be freed from this, but I want to play the Mike Ryan game of, is Mark Sanchez saying yesterday while watching Dalvin Cook fumble running into a butt of his offensive lineman, is Mark Sanchez saying, hey, get me off the hook here. I just saw it happen. But because Mark Sanchez was first to the butt fumble on a Monday night game on a primetime game, is it different? He never gets released from that particular hell.
I think he tweeted out, stay out of my lane.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, whoa, stay out of my lane, bro, at Thomas Morstead.
Yes, these guys have learned to love to live with those mistakes. Orlovsky, too. I'm telling you. Like, he thinks he wants it out of his life, and now it's out of his life, and I guarantee he's going to miss it.
But give me the others that you think are sitting around watching. Because Canseco's ridiculous. What a horrible existence, always watching for flies to right field, hoping that one of them bounces off the head of a right fielder and over the fence for a home run. Like, it will not ever happen again.
He's not one to turn away attention. You think that he wants the attention off of him from that?
I'm just saying, I don't think that's how he's watching right fielders.
You could see him at his car wash this weekend, by the way.
When are we going to see him ever, anywhere?
He's elusive. I don't know why we can't pin him down. It's weird.
It was prime Jared Allen coming after Orlovsky. I mean, I'd run out of bounds, too. I'm totally with you, Dan.
It's terrifying. I see Orlovsky in a suit, and I'm like, why was he back there?
Tell you what. Jose Canseco, first one to actually get to highlight on Friday. You were Tyler Van Dyke, Kelexi, and ILD.
Tirico called out Orlovsky so quickly that a few minutes later, he actually apologized for it on air. He was like, no shade to Dan Orlovsky, basically, because everyone he didn't actually say no shade, but everyone immediately was on social media.
It was cruel, almost.
He started saying Dan Orlovsky's name. I listened to it before the refs finished blowing the whistle on the play. He was so quick with it. It was incredible.
Before he said the name Jimmy G. Jimmy G, in the highlight, Orlovsky is there before Garoppolo is.
Tirico had a really good moment yesterday, too, when they were talking about Christian Kirk's contract. And Chris Collinsworth tried to start making the argument, man, I wish I had these rules and this money. And Tirico's like, it's almost like TV money, isn't it? nice little anecdote.
The Dolphins, what are we thinking about the Dolphins putting the butt undefeated fumble on the elevator?
The butt punt. And,
I'm sorry, the butt punt. Yeah, I'm getting my butt related.
Yeah. Well, didn't they also, when they beat the Ravens last year on Thursday Night Football, and that offensive lineman decided to do that, run that touchdown and flip and stuff, they put that on the elevator.
Oh, wait, no, this is a Juju Gaudi Photoshop.
No, Juju is demanding that they put the butt punt on the elevators as they do, and they should absolutely do that.
I agree with Juju.
Can you guys imagine our alternate show if the way that game had ended was just kicking it into the butt of your up back and a bill ending up with the football in the end zone, and then the Dolphins go four and out and the game is over. They've mismanaged the clock at the end, and they could have been 3-0 and they're 2-1 and something terrible has happened at the end of this game.
I thought I wanted that show, but in fact I'm getting a better show because I can still revel in the butt punt and I get Bills Mafia citing OSHA violations for a hot stadium, and I get
that
Ken Dorsey.
That was like one random Twitter user, by the way, that Dolphins fans were like blowing up and going after. I felt so bad for this random person. She's not even like a media member, beat reporter, just like some random person on Twitter that everyone's shitting all over.
Well, the OSHA one, but there was a bunch of Bills Twitter mafia people saying like it's way too hot out there, which I agree.
It was a classic internet pile on.
And there was the dude that in the backwards Josh Allen jersey that was on the roundabouts at Hard Rock Stadium that just was sitting next to his own vomit, which also might have been heat stroke, by the way.
Mike, that day started at the elbow room for Bills Mafia. Did you see those videos?
Yeah.
And ended up like, you can't do that.
It also ended at the elbow room.
No, but any day that starts at the elbow room is going to be a bad ending.
I think that was the day before, Stugatz. Wasn't a day. I don't think.
I thought they pregame there.
This is what you get. Maybe also. They might have also done that. But you should know the history of what it is.
Love the elbow room.
Came into Fort Lauderdale this weekend. That's 17 years without a playoff appearance. And now they've got a quarterback and they know it. And of course, they're going to travel well. That's as rabid a fan base as there is. And they overtook Fort Lauderdale. They overtook the old place where everyone would go when they came into town for Dolphin games. Because, they've been a doormat and a laughingstock. It's not just 17 years without the playoffs. It's when you get to the Super Bowl, you lose every time. You are a loser, Buffalo, even though you've got the Mafia, one of the most intense fan bases. You travel well, and you were made to feel like Ken Dorsey at the end of that game and hungover. And rabid and enraged and hungover. And Dorsey was in air conditioning.
Yeah, he had it good.
He also changed his clothes at halftime.
Did he really?
Yeah, the entire staff in that box changed their clothes to the red shirts.
Why was McDaniel wearing a hoodie on the sideline?
Power move.
Those hoodies are so great and comfortable. Yeah. And he was also in the shaded sideline.
They have the air pockets. Yeah, it was incredible over there.
It's cold over there.
Yeah, it's freezing over there.
You think this is hot? He was trying to get inside of McDermott's head. Right.
I don't know if you guys saw the story. Last week, Bruce Arians got like a sternly worded note from the league because it was a weird thing, Stugatz. Bruce Arians was on the sidelines as the former coach.
He has to let it go.
But he got a note, and then I kept reading the story, and it's because the press box, I guess in, was it New Orleans? Yeah, in New Orleans, they put personnel like Arians so close to like an air conditioning vent of some sort that it's freezing, and the choices are either be a million miles from the action or breathing on the neck of Todd Bowles as the former coach. And then starting the fight between Evans and Lattimore because he got in the middle of it because they wanted him up near the air conditioning.
You can complain about being too close to an air conditioner at your workplace. Where do I file this complaint?
If you're Bruce Arians.
All we need to do is win a Super Bowl. That actually lost them the game again. That lost them a game against Green Bay. Did you see who Tom Brady was throwing out to? It's Cole Beasley, Scotty Miller, and Russell Gage, who's very, very clearly injured.
Cameron Brate's still out there, though.
As dependable as ever.
Yep.
They didn't have Godwin. They didn't have Mike Evans. They didn't have Julio Jones, who we thought fooled us for 1 week, but very clearly it's the same set of issues with Julio Jones.
You know who else they had?
Who?
Kyle Rudolph caught a pass.
Rudy, yes. But I will tell you that they still had a chance to win, Mike, and the throw that Brady made to get that game-tying touchdown, they needed a two to tie it up, was an incredible throw. A perfect throw by Tom Brady. That was a fun game. I know it was a defensive struggle.
No, it was not a fun game. It was a terrible battle. It was a shitty game.
What was Aaron getting at? I don't know if you saw his post-game interview, but he alluded to sometimes Jumbotron operators put something up on the on the Jumbotron that shouldn't be up there, even when you're at home. So I relayed some information. He just volunteered that too. He wasn't asked that direct question. He just volunteered that.
I don't like that.
What does he mean by that?
I don't know, but he's going to get someone fired. They're going to try to figure out what it was, and they're never going to figure it out. And the person that does the everybody clap your hands is going to get fired for some reason. I don't like. I think he just says things sometimes.
Well,
you know?
Speaking of just saying things, Stugatz is saying he loved Aaron Rodgers and Brady being held to 14-12.
I loved it.
To field goals.
It was great.
But beyond.
Defensive battle, Dan.
Yep.
Beyond
old school football.
The sport, we talk about everything happening throughout football and we overanalyze it and hyperventilate. And at the end of that game, because I do not want to lose sight of this, Stugatz, even though his greatness is metronome droning like no athlete before him, not Sampras, not Federer, not anybody. Just the idea that Tom Brady at the end of the game, down 14-6 at 45 with no wide receivers, after doing nothing all game, nothing, they couldn't get down the field.
Against that defense.
That Aaron Rodgers has left him too much time because it's just 14 that you got. And we all know that Tom Brady is coming again. Stugatz, Kyler Murray can't do that every week. We all know Tom Brady's coming again, and he's got nothing at wide receiver. Nothing. It's Antonio Brown. Nope. Gronk. Nope. Julio Jones. Nope. Godwin. Nope. Mike Evans. None of the O.J. Howard. Nope. Like from whatever the last 2 years, it's just down to like Scotty Miller. And can you hit him in his one right hand? He's got 3 inches over here. Can you hit him exactly right? Or as you said, some other injured receiver, Gage. It's now 3 games in, and Mike's saying, he's clearly injured. He's throwing.
Yeah, he's in. They had to force people out there. Russell Gage was limping that entire game.
He can't normalize that. It's hard to put together a game-winning drive when you're in disrepair and you've got 2 field goals all game. But when you need it most, we all know you're coming for everybody. And then the more puzzling thing, this is what's weird about everything that happened at the end of that game. More shocking to me that 45-year-old Brady driving all that way with no wide receivers is, what do you mean he got a delay of game on the 2-point conversion? He knows football and time management better than anyone who's ever played it. What do you mean? He was just going to sneak there. He was going to get the 2-point conversion by sneaking somehow.
I think that's also a byproduct of who's out on the field with him.
Yes.
And trying to get everybody on the same page. It's a big difference. And not where there was Gronk and Godwin and Evans. I mean, even Leonard Fournette is banged up. It's now Beasley, Miller, and Gage, and single-digit Kyle Rudolph.
That 2-point play, by the way, was to Fournette, and it didn't count. They had to go back to the 7-yard line, but it was in. It was good. It was going overtime.
Fournette's really banged up. I'm surprised. Like, I guess I should never be surprised at how banged up certain teams are 2 weeks into the season. But even last week, the fact that they won that game despite being as injured as the New Orleans Saints was pretty impressive. They were really banged up right now.
the broadcast was hyping up this being like maybe the last Brady Rodgers matchup of all time.
Stop it.
What are they going to say after the game? To
NFC Championship game.
You know, this is like a momentous occasion, and they go to see each other at midfield, and Tom Brady says, "Keep in touch."
Stugatz, I don't know if you have read. I saw when Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, they were weeping together.
Goosebumps. Dude, I just gotten over that.
Yeah. I can't watch it again, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
Very emotional.
Federer looks like he's made of wax.
Billy's been looking at this entire thing.
What is your deal, man?
He is souring on the emotion of this. He was not caught up. Billy, why were you making sour faces about Nadal and Federer rivalry for the ages? Even Stugatz is weepy, and you're over here just making fun of the wax.
I mean, I love
figurine.
Those moments, and I love tennis. So
I just saw the picture, and I was like, oh, it was a werewolf and a wax figure it was crying. It's weird.
How dare you?
Such a great moment, I'm Billy.
The thing that I went to those two guys, I don't know if you have you read at all at what Nadal has to do to his feet, shoot his feet up in order to keep playing because of the horrors of what that sport has done to his feet, like the pain threshold and the obsessive compulsiveness. He is going to have a very difficult life with his feet going forward because of what he has to do to stay on a court. As I'm watching football yesterday, and Mike is saying, hey, I'm surprised how guys are banged up week two. Well, the Bucks, champion Bucks of the last 2 years, they seem banged up from
Mike
that.
Ryan.
Oh, bam. Did you see Russell Gage limping the entire game? Wow.
No. That's a Suey winner right there. Talk about the Hurricanes next.
My point is that
you got to bring it in tight. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
The banged up 3 weeks in, what we're watching is crazy.
Kirby Smart lost to Vanderbilt. Yeah.
This is Andrew Luck sucking on helium, right?
It took Dabo some time, didn't it? Come on, guys.
I like this character.
You sound like Doug's neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Doug.
I like him arguing with people.
What?
I just like this character. You just, you think you don't sound like that.
I didn't create it. You did.
Yes.
He's Mike being Dan being Mike.
Next level.
Billy, so why is it that you're making the funny faces at the emotional moment?
I don't know, because I had nothing on it.
So you just make fun of him?
Yeah, I saw the video. I'm like, that seems like a bit much. Yeah.
Okay.
Two guys here from my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan. And you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
That bear was not on Hal's deck. Excuse me. I was going to say desk. I meant deck. I botched it. Terrible. $2. Penalty box, 2 minutes. See ya. Home for the day? Walk to the ocean? What do you want me to do? Super Bowl week, Dan. I didn't ask for any of this. And I have no money. Aqua?
Stugats.
Walk to the ocean.
What?
Walk to the ocean.
I really have
no
money.
Get out of here. Get out of here. I'll do the show without you.
I don't like.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Will it ever feel that way ever again? That era, it kind of does feel like it's closing. Djokovic might be better than the both of them.
Well, does Djokovic and Nadal have a friendship?
Djokovic
would Djokovic be
weird.
There with Nadal for his final match?
Well, did you see the dinner that they had, like the black tie dinner that Federer had?
Andy Murray.
With Andy Murray, yeah. Djokovic.
Yeah.
Andy Murray somehow got through the velvet rope. I think he deserves it, but, you know, borderline. They had to check the list a couple of times Andy Murray.
He's the only other guy besides those three to win a couple of majors.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was sweating outside the club for a little bit.
When you guys saw the picture of them like crying and holding hands, did Lady Gaga singing Always Remember Us This Way get stuck in your head too?
No, but I was still
Andy Murray
sad.
Can't get past that velvet rope, Mike.
I'm sorry. Andy Murray
he
can.
Did.
Yeah, Andy
he got
Murray,
past it.
Andy Murray was the first
you're,
one to
wait,
have.
You're not a little Gaga? A Lady Gaga? Just a
little Gaga.
Gaga.
I'm not a little monster.
God, it's too early. I woke up this morning and it was pitch black outside and I have been rattled ever
just
since.
Just blame the sun.
Where did the sun go? The sun was so powerful yesterday.
It needed
and then
a break.
This morning at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
It's nowhere
it
to be found.
It slept in. Yep.
But I was made very sad by it. And the part that got me wasn't even Federer. It was Nadal crying next to Federer because I think like he's been obsessed with beating Roger Federer. He was a measuring stick. He was the goal every day in training when his legs are giving out, when he's shooting up his feet. It's with the idea of beating Roger Federer. And it was a career obsession. The fact that they got along the entire time or were great gentlemen to each other the entire time actually helps this one moment in history. But I'm going to remember that photo forever. I got the feels looking at that.
Andy Murray, and I don't mean this as any slight to Andy Murray. I really don't. He just doesn't belong in the room with those three people because nobody does. They're that much clearly. It's not a slight on anybody that Andy Reddick and Marty Fish.
Andy Roddick and Marty Fish.
Oh, that's $5.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yep. Danny, he won a U.S. Open and he won Wimbledon. Like, and if those Wimbledon. Three aren't there, he probably has like 10 to 15 majors. He deserves it. You need a fourth, and Murray was the fourth.
You don't need a fourth.
They needed a fourth.
Well, I think the cool part about Murray being there. Is you actually get to see, like, wow, if Murray played in another era, he'd be looked at the way that maybe Roger Federer is looked at. And Murray was, I think, in my opinion, I don't want to anger older members of our audience, every bit as good at his best as Pete Sampras was. He was just playing in a different era. He was playing in the greatest era of men's tennis ever.
It's like the guys who played with Jordan, like Barkley and all those guys.
Well, I mean,
yes, it is, Mike.
Maybe not even that, because Andy Murray, at the top of his game, when he was healthy, look at everything he had to sum up and overcome just to win those Grand Slams in that era. So I actually found it kind of cool that he was there, even though the security had to check the list a couple times.
When you say, though, choked up, because you mentioned photographs and what it is they can mean, and I know that Billy's made fun of photography, but when I'm looking at that photograph, one of the things that I'm seeing there is the history and the understanding in that sport that Roger Federer in a lonely man's game was able to do it with a longevity that didn't have any precedent. He's dragging Nadal along with him to keep up on similar spirits, similar mindsets. Only three people in the world know what it's like to be those three dudes. And so there would be a closeness developed because it's such a lonely sport for Federer to drag them all. Djokovic is a young man to know I'm going to keep playing this lonely sport. It's going to be meditation. It's just going to be hitting a ball again. Again, nobody plays for 25 years, but if you guys want to keep up with me, you're going to have to be similarly minded. And look at what you're going to have to do, Nadal. You're going to have to shoot up your feet. You're not going to walk right. You probably don't walk right already, but you're going to have so much pain throughout your body because of how you felt the need to obsessively, compulsively chase that dude because he was in front of you. Like, that's what was in that photograph for me. They're weeping because they've been through, I mean, nobody knows what it's like to be them except them and one other guy.
I'm an Nadal guy. That's my favorite of the bunch. And seeing that photo, I'm like, asking myself what Nadal had to overcome just to be 75% in some of those matchups, because Nadal was 100% maybe when he was 18. He's been far from that the entire time. He is so beat up. And Federer, in part, also broken, forcing his injury a little bit.
But it looks easy for Roger. It looks really hard for Nadal.
It looks super painful because of how he plays.
Right.
And to me, like, that's what he sacrificed, the pain that he's put himself through just to get on that level. I thought his face was a manifestation of, this was my obsession for 20 years.
To think of distorting your body, because his left arm is a thigh. It's twice as big as his right arm, and his feet don't work right. All in the pursuit of the physical chase of a Roger Federer who's
won a Grand Slam this year.
Physically built differently than you. You have to grind your shoulder through the sport in order to keep up with him. As your hair falls out, like I just, what I saw is two young champions. You've seen them.
Their hair falling out has nothing to do with tennis.
That's a pot shot.
Yeah.
Pot shot.
He looks like there was no reason to bring it up. The arm was fine. The feet were fine. The hair, leave the man alone. I mean,
wouldn't happen if they were playing pickleball, by the way. Way less pressure on the
Nadal would be so good at pickleball.
He really would be.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But isn't there, though?
When he finishes playing and his arm gets back to, like, normal size, do you think that he'll have just, like, a bunch of loose skin there?
As an old man?
Yeah.
Like, flabby skin?
Yeah, because you lose the muscle definition. Right. Yeah, you just have kind of, like, the skin hanging off the elbow or something.
I like to think that he'll be 90, but that arm stays as in shape.
Always young.
Right now. Forever young because of how rigorous his training has been.
That the arm lives long beyond him.
Still got the arm, Mike.
He dies and the arm is just walking around.
You should hermetically seal it like David Duchovny in Zoolander. Just have it in a glass case. Protect that thing at all costs.
It could survive anything because it is the healthiest thing man has ever made with one's body. It's stronger than anything on the surface area than anything that's ever been made.
We're just going to cryogenically freeze his arm.
In 30 years, the arm is at a coffee shop. Yeah. Just drinking coffee.
Sipping coffee.
Yeah. Reading the paper.
Laughing at Federer and Djokovic because they didn't have body parts that could last forever.
When Nadal's heart inevitably stops in his old age.
When he lives a long life
and cardiac arrest finally happens, I imagine the arm reanimating and starting to pound his chest to revive him. That's how strong that arm is.
His arm saves him?
Yeah.
It would save anyone.
It would. Right. It would bring them back to life.
And there's a great action movie around just the arm of Rafael Nadal as a superhero. because it was able to come close to being as good as Federer.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.